If you want to follow the reading this morning, it's on page 227 of the Church Bibles, 227. We're reading from 1 Samuel, chapter 3, and the first 14 verses. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he couldn't see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever, for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." This is the word of the Lord.
Please do keep your Bibles open, will you, at 1 Samuel 3. Let's bow our heads to pray, shall we? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth and its power. Please speak to us now, we pray, in your name. Amen. So we come to the last character that we're going to look at from Hebrews chapter 11, people of faith. And that character is Samuel. And the question I want to ask this morning is, how does God call his people? Or more specifically, how does God call his person? What kind of pieces fit together for that person to be called, as Samuel was? More importantly, how does God call his person to action when God seems a long way off and not very much to do with God seems to be going on, and people just seem to be turning away from God and going their own way? When so much seems against God, how can he bring about his purposes? When so many people perhaps are broken through disobeying God, how does God call Samuel, and how does God assure that his purposes are fulfilled? Well, to answer that question, we look at 1 Samuel and the life of Samuel. Because one of the striking things to me is that this Bible passage begins in a place very much where we seem to be. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. God seemed a long way away. Whatever happened, God seemed a million miles off. When things didn't go so well for people, they cried out to God, and God didn't really seem to hear. God didn't seem to answer, because he just seemed so far away, so distant from most people's lives. In fact, what we find in the life of Samuel is that God, in bringing about his great purposes, knits together a trail of broken hearts. That's very striking in the life of Samuel. A trail of broken hearts. Think, first of all, of Samuel's mother. Now, some of you will know Samuel's mother was called Hannah. And we read about Hannah just a few pages back at the beginning of 1 Samuel. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zoph, son of Ephrathite. I got stuck in the son ofs then. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So really, right at the beginning of the book of Samuel, we find this woman, Hannah, who was desperate to have children because of her husband's other wife. She had children, but Hannah didn't have any. Verse 3. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It wasn't an easy life for Hannah, was it? Desperate to have children, not able to have them. She knew it was an issue with her because her husband had another wife with whom he had plenty of children. And he loved them, but her husband loved Hannah especially, but it didn't really help. As you read further on down the passage, Elkanah says to Hannah, "What do you need children for? Aren't I enough?" I mean, it's astonishing kind of hardness and lack of understanding we see from Elkanah. Here is a broken heart. The broken heart of one who knows pain and grief. In the end, Hannah did give birth to Samuel, but not before she'd poured out her heart again and again and again and again to God. And when she eventually gave birth to Samuel, she gave him to the Lord to work in the temple as a thank offering for what God had done. Broken heart, number one. But then there's broken heart, number two, in this account of God choosing his person. And it's the heart of Eli. We read earlier on, Eli had two sons called Hophni and Phinehas, and they were utter, utter rogues. Chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us this. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. That's strong, isn't it? They did not know the Lord. The custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest would get some of the meat, but they said, "Oh no, give us the meat first, we want the best bits." They were supposed to be priests, following on from Eli, but they were doing an absolutely terrible job. how it must have grieved Eli, who was otherwise a godly man. Seeing his sons misbehaving before all the people, we read that they spent time with prostitutes and all kinds of undesirables. And they were supposed to be priests, leaders of the people to God. How Eli must have grieved over his sons. We know that he still loved them. Eventually, they died in a big battle. And when the news was brought to Eli that his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had died in battle, Eli, an old man at the time, fell off the chair he was sitting with grief, and he broke his neck and died. He died not just of a broken neck, but a broken heart for the way his sons had treated not only him, but God. Now, I don't know how much of Hophni and Phinehas' rebellion and misbehavior was due to Eli's lack of discipline of them, lack of leadership and example, lack of being around when they were growing up. We're not told any of that. We don't know actually who Hophni and Phinehas' mother or mothers were or was. They're never mentioned. It's not impossible, in fact it's probably quite possible, that they were not on the scene. Maybe they died. Maybe Eli was a man struggling to bring up two lads on his own. It's a bit of license, but it's not impossible. And that he just struggled to do that with the demands of everything else that was on him. And they rebelled against God. Whatever the reason, his heart was broken because of the behavior of his sons. What good can possibly come out of this broken heart? Broken heart number one, Hannah. Broken heart number two, Eli. Broken heart number three, not directly in this passage, but in the book just before 1 Samuel, the book of Ruth. Here's broken heart number three. It is Ruth herself. Now, there is a connection, and you will see in a moment. Ruth, who was a foreigner. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, had taken her two sons off to Moab, because there was a famine in the land, and Ruth had married one of those sons, and then her husband had died. She knew the heartache of losing a husband. But then she also knew the heartache of going back to a foreign land where she wasn't known, she wasn't particularly welcome, and trying to make her way in that foreign country to look after her mother-in-law. She was dedicated to do that. And you'll know the story of Ruth. If you don't, when you go home, read it through. It's only four chapters, and it's the most delightful, wonderful, romantic love story. And it's even got things in there for the guys as well. It's a great book. Read it. She found that she had somebody, she found somebody she wanted to marry. But it didn't quite work out so simply, but in the end it did work out. We don't have time to go into the details. But here was Ruth, broken by bereavement, broken by being a foreigner in a foreign land, broken because the man she wanted to marry wasn't able to marry her. But then eventually he did, and Ruth and Boaz had a son called Obed, who had a son called Jesse, who had a son called David. How can God work out his purposes here? Broken Hannah had a son called Samuel. Broken Eli was the one who effectively raised Samuel to follow the Lord and to trust him. Broken Ruth was the great grandmother of King David. And here's the great connection. King David was anointed king by Samuel. Isn't that amazing? Where is God when all seems broken and all seems a mess? When you look around and you see everywhere I look, I see broken people, struggling people. God seems a million miles away. What's going on? How is God going to put this right? Is God even there? Is he even bothered? Well, if he can use broken Hannah to give birth to Samuel, to be brought up by broken Eli, to anoint David, a descendant of broken Ruth, surely God can use us, can't he? And so we have God's chosen servant in Samuel. A man of real faith, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it. A man of faith. An unlikely man of faith. God's unlikely man, Samuel, anoints the unlikely man, David, in a world that looks unlikely to follow God, to bring unlikely glory to his name. God can do that among us today. Let's bow our heads to pray. God, our Father, we thank you now again for your word, for its truth and power. Thank you for these accounts of real lives, broken lives, and yet lives used by you for your glory. Help us, Father, to see your hand at work through brokenness and through rebellion, bringing about your glory in our needy world. In your name we pray. Amen.